This is a Renewed Covenant ministry message. Every message delivered by this ministry strives to show the relevance of the most important covenant ever revealed to God's people. The New Covenant. A covenant offering grace through faith, thereby renewing the law of God in our hearts and minds through the manifestation of the only begotten Son and eternal Word of God, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, the firstborn among many brethren. The majority of our audio messages come from our Sabbath Bible studies, delivered by Brother J.S. Lowther at a Sabbath convocation centered around the patriarchal family structure near Marietta, Ohio. Contact us by mail at Box 134, 140 Gross Street, Marietta, Ohio, 45750. Find related messages relevant to the systematic theology offered by Renewed Covenant Ministry at renewedcovenantministry.com. And now for the message.
Let's again start with a word of prayer from Psalm 119, 18 through 19. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, for I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5 is where we're going to be focusing on yet again today and finishing up the chapter from 17 down. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. And so that is what God's holy word says through Paul to Timothy in teaching the church of Ephesus. So in the last few weeks, we had built up the subject matter that Paul is dealing with and established out of the law of God, I think very definitively. And so we're going to kind of close that up and then finish out the chapter, chapter 5. So let's turn back in our thinking and remember that we had seen the elder men, the old men of the church unit, which we call the presbytery, commanded to not be rebuked, but to be rather entreated as a father. We also saw Paul in the beginning of chapter 5 saying also to not rebuke younger men, but to rather entreat them as brothers. The elder women were to be treated as mothers, younger women as sisters, and both were to be treated or entreated with all purity. And we expressed that, I think, very much last Sabbath. We learned of the state of widowhood, which can befall either an elder woman or a younger woman. And so within that widow category, Paul makes two distinctions of the widows that are in the church. There are widows that have children or progeny, and widows that are widows indeed, meaning they have no progeny. They rather only have the Lord, and then that means they have the church to help them. That is a widow indeed. And so within the category of a widow indeed, we saw Paul speak concerning of a widow that trusts in the Lord due to her circumstances of only or monos having the Lord to trust in. Only having the Lord to trust in. She's monos was the Greek word, which is where we get our English word mono, which is just a Greek word that's been put into our language. And she only has the Lord to trust in because she is what he calls a widow indeed. And so that meant that she truly is in a state of being devoid, which is the meaning of a widow. I'd also mention that the word that widow comes from is the same as where the word chasm comes from, a void in the ground or a void in the earth, a chasm. And so she is devoid of others that can take care of her. She does not have anyone else in her life, so she has the Lord. And so the Greek meaning of the word widow implies to the Greek-speaking Ephesians that Paul is addressing through Timothy, the presiding overseer or bishop, as we call him in English, who is a head judge of this people, that they're in need of understanding and implementing this household law of God and faith within their church that he rules over concerning these widows. And so he's dealing with what a widow is in dividing them up in biblically lawful categories as the law would speak of them, as it understands them from the implied law of God that Paul definitely had good knowledge of. And so this is why we have been calling it the oikonomion, the household law of God, that he is being exhorted in. And so we saw last week also the judgment of a widow is a judgment in righteousness that the Lord takes special attention to. It's important to notice that God in his word says several places in several different ways that he promises to vindicate the widow, and that means to arbitrate or judge her cause, before the face of the one who treats her wrongly, especially the judge that neglects her void state in society that she's part of. And so God promises that while one person may not be punished and might get away with treating a widow badly, which is probably more than often the case that a judge would get past that without any punishment, or that a person would harm a widow, he promises that there will come a day in judgment, in his judgment, where he will visit that iniquity to their face. He will punish them to their face for their wrongdoing. But back to the groups of widows, it's within the group of the widows indeed that we saw a woman that is also to be treated fairly. That means she is to be treated equally with equity. She is to be treated righteously because she's a widow indeed. But Paul is telling Timothy to watch out for this particular group of widows because while they do not have anyone else in their life and they should have their trust only in the Lord, their trust is not found in the Lord. Rather, she is found wanting and looking for pleasure or luxury to fill her chasmatic or her devoid state. And so because she is void and not even having the Lord God, who should be the rock of her trust, this widow is rather found wandering from house to house and doing things which she ought not and saying things which she ought not. And so in her devoid state and not having the ability to trust in God, she also adds to that sin and her desire for pleasure. And so this person, when they are in this state, they have no progeny. They're not trusting in God alone to set their trust upon. And so Paul lists out several things that they're want to do. He says that they'll live in luxury or in pleasure. This widow will learn to be idle. She will be found wandering from house to house, and that will lead to her not only being idle, but also being a tattler and a busybody, speaking things which she ought not to speak. And then Paul summarizes it thus in 1 Timothy 5:15, that these have turned aside after Satan, which is pretty harsh language. I had mentioned earlier while talking to my wife that that language is not used very often in the Bible, so this is something that definitely should be taken into account and considering. Paul is speaking of those women that are widows indeed when they are younger than 60 also in the enumeration of what we see here, when they're 60, younger than 60 years of age, that they are not to be encouraged to be idle by being taken care of beyond measure freely at the expense of others. So that's what he's warning of. He's warning that the younger widows that are widows indeed, that they should not be taken care of and encouraged to be idle, to encourage them to not want to marry, that they shouldn't be freely taken care of at the expense of everyone else, but rather the family church or kindred church or tribal church, and God forbid, the national church like we see today, which is Social Security and welfare, they should not be enabling this woman to not be the woman that God has called her to be. Okay? Because that's what happens. When a person is encouraged to be idle, when they're encouraged in these bad behaviors, they will not desire the things of God. They will rather waste their time. And they will waste their life being idle, being busybodies, and saying things that they ought not. So much so that they will be given over to Satan or the adversary. And so the family church or a kindred church or a tribal church, as we saw in the book of Ruth, and as I said, God forbid this thing we have nowadays in the country of the United States and other places, the socialist welfare state, taking care of them encourages that behavior. And a Christian woman should not be encouraged in that behavior. And so rather what we see here and what Paul is exhorting according to the law of God for women to do, this will test this woman's heart and reins. This will test her commitment to Christ as a Christian by saying what it says in 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, and then give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Okay? And so in his encouragement of the younger widows that are widows indeed, the ones that have no children, he encourages them to marry and to have children and to guide the house. Paul's lesson is in total lockstep with what we see in the Pentateuch, in the law of God as it was divinely given by Moses. And so he goes on, well, actually he prior said it in verse 8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel, one without faith. And so in 16, he says, if any man or woman that believe have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so the conciliation of these two equal but loving truths out of the law of God that would aid and help society to be so much better than we'd have it today is that you can never abandon your widows. We are never allowed to abandon our widows unless she has abandoned her God with God's law. Okay? And so a woman who is a widow that's in need of help, regardless of her age, if she is your widow, someone God has given to you to take care of that is in your neighborhood or your brotherhood, in your church, so to speak, she is to be taken care of. But if she has abandoned God's law and if she has abandoned God herself by being the person she ought not to be, then there, of course, is different provisions that need to be taken in teaching her the truth. And if she will not come to it, then you have a serious problem. So if you have a family member, especially, or a relative or a relation, or even a friend, a sister in the church of Christ that is not related to you, we as men and women of faith are charged to take care of that widow that is a widow indeed, because she has no one. She has no children. That's what a widow indeed is in Paul's estimation. That needs to be remembered because the confusion that oftentimes and has historically taken place on this chapter in 1 Timothy has been not identifying what Paul lawfully categorizes as a widow indeed versus a widow with children. Okay? A widow indeed is that woman that does not have children proceeding from her. No children, no grandchildren. And so a widow indeed needs her relatives, cousins, uncles, friends, neighbors to help take care of her, because she is indeed void of that. She's void of someone. She's never had a child that has an obligation to honor and respect and take care of her and love her. And so she needs others to do that for her, because that is the lot that's fallen to her. And so widows under certain circumstances should be encouraged to do the lawful thing, depending on where they are at the time of age in their society. And so a woman with no one but us, no one but you, who claims to be one of the sons of God, who has had Christ revealed to them, who has been changed by the law of God to follow after the laws of God, should desire to take care of those who are in need, truly, and to encourage them in the law and the gospel. And so that's really important to remember that that's our job. One who does not take care of the needs of a widow, indeed, as the law demands, which would mean helping her find food and shelter, that's place to live, things to eat, and clothing as well, which are the three things that are always mentioned when dealing with the poor, those that are in need. And if she be under the age of 60 and a suitable helpmeet for a husband, helping her find the proper spouse, help her find someone who would be a good husband for that particular person maybe, and encourage her in living the life that God has wanted for his people and being fruitful and multiplying. Especially if she's of childbearing age, most especially. Even a woman who is older than childbearing age is able to help guide a house, is able to help another man. Let's say you have a widower, a man who's lost his wife, who has children to take care of, and a woman who has lost a husband. Historically, this has been the case that you'll find widowers and widows coming together for the common good of the family, which is in fact the church, and then raising offspring from both of them to be godly children, to have godly families, and to support one another because of a common faith. And so that's very important to remember, that the faithful family in Christ, to be family people that they are called to be. And so let them encourage her in remarrying according to the prescriptions of the law of God. And of course, that means that first and primarily with preference to her husband's family as kinsmen redeemers, as we saw in the book of Ruth. It may not strike us as modern. It may seem like it's archaic. It may seem like something out of the law that is not applicable to us anymore because we are so far beyond that. But really, the household law of God that Paul was teaching to Timothy, that Timothy is going to teach to the Ephesians, that we should be talking about day to day, have it written on the posts of our house and as frontlets before our eyes, that we speak it to our children as we walk by the way, is a reminder of the ancient paths that God had laid out in his law. And that is the correct way for society to function. And so part of that societal function is the kinsman redemption laws. Those things are important when it comes to these subjects, and to encourage a woman to do what the law says if she is one of these women that would apply to the circumstance. If it was like Ruth and Naomi and we have those situations, we should be encouraging families in the church to look at one another in the same exact way we see Boaz and Naomi and Ruth dealing with one another, as has deserved the right to be in the book of books that we read as the Word of God. And so let the aged women be the inheritance of the family is what I'm encouraging here, and what I think the law is encouraging through Paul's words. Let her needs fall upon the family of her dead husband in lawful order, that she be loved and cherished by those that she has been given in faith and family, with her genetic family of her husband taking care of her, not some spiritual construct that we have to create and imagine is so, but that really, in fact, as the law speaks about it, is the way God desires the family and the church that has families within it to function one with the other. And so likewise, we have seen the woman who has progeny. That is the other part of this category of widows. We have a woman who has progeny. She is not a widow indeed. She has children or grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren, those which she has produced. Remember, I pointed out that in the Hebrew idea, the word that represented nephews in the King James Version was they that were the fruit of her body. The fruit of her body. So that actually means they came out by generation out of her body. She generated them. An easy way to remember this simply is that the opposite of a woman who is a widow indeed, think of a woman giving birth to children, that's what it's talking about. If you think about it, without your mother, you wouldn't exist. Without your grandmother, you wouldn't exist. Without your great-grandmother, you wouldn't exist. Without your great-great-grandma, you wouldn't exist. And that's about as far back as most people could ever go in their lifetime to think about a woman who's a widow. But this woman is the woman who is the opposite of the widow indeed. She should never have a problem being taken care of. She should always have a son or a daughter who's going to be there for her, to love her and to cherish her and to treat her as an inheritance, because she created you. That's why. Because she created you. Whether you are a son or a daughter, you have been created by a mother and a father, and that particular mother is your inheritance. You've inherited her. She has gained you, but you have inherited her when your father dies, if your father dies before her. And so you would not exist if it were not for the labor that she gave for you, and you would not exist if you were not the fruit of her womb. And so that is just the way in which Paul understands things and that he expresses them in those categories. And so it's very harsh what Paul says. Very harsh what he says, and it's very needed to be harsh when Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8 and 5:16, if any provide not for his own and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The reason that's so important is because this admonition can go to both sides. It can go to one who is the relative of a widow who won't take care of his aunt or his great aunt or some such relative. It could definitely apply there, but most importantly, and right in front of everything, it's applying to your own mother and grandmother. And so likewise, he says, if any man or woman that believes has widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so in the sense of what we've talked about prior in brotherhood, when we have a brotherhood, those who are closest to you are those who you should take care of. Like I pointed out, Boaz took care of Ruth and Naomi, took care of them. Though he was Elimelech's kinsman and brother, okay, he was not progeny of Naomi. He did not come out of Naomi's womb, but he took care of her because it was his widow he inherited. That's the way biblical society works. It's a family-based society, okay? It's a family-based nation. It builds up into a nation. The reason why it speaks the way that it does here is that there will be times where widows have no one at all. And so they are, in fact, widows indeed. And so some member of the church is going to have to take care of what we would call a stranger who is a widow that is still a member of the church. Okay, we understand this. And so if a person of a whole totally different family is still part of your church, she is your neighbor, she may be a stranger to your family, she still deserves to be taken care of according to the law of God. You're still supposed to take care of her because she's a member of your church family. Okay? Because she's a widow indeed, the collective church will take care of her. But that doesn't mean they won't encourage her, if she is of childbearing age, to get married, bear children, guide a house, and so on and so forth. And that doesn't mean that if she is over the age of 60, she will not be encouraged to be an elder woman with respect and dignity and to be the person God has made her to be. Okay? Because the job of the church is to encourage Christians to be Christians. But it's important to remember that this is so much more damning for a person who has a mother or a grandmother that they are neglecting to take care of. This is damning language. You are not in the faith. You cannot have a person say, I will not take care of my widowed mother or grandmother or great-grandma, but I'm a Christian. They're a liar. Okay, they lie, or they're ignorant. So if they're ignorant, inform them that they are in sin and return them back to the law of God. And so this is all the more damning because at the closest level of what we could call genetic or ethnic identity, in a brotherhood and a neighborhood, children or grandchildren have blasphemously broken the fifth commandment if they are in such a situation. Remember, the fifth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. These, by relinquishing, are actually abhorring the blessing upon the country, the land mass that they live in, the land that they have been given, that they inherit, that says, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee. Okay? They're actually blaspheming that commandment and abhorring the blessings of God. As well, they're abhorring something else we're encouraged in, the fear of God. Whenever they do not rise up before the hoary head, when they do not honor in the same way as they would their parents the face of the old man and fear their God because he is the Lord, according to Leviticus 19:32. And so for honoring, in honoring or valuing the gray-haired elder woman, who would in this case be your mother or grandmother or your great-grandmother, you have spit in the face of your dead father or elder. Okay? By not honoring grandma or mom, you spit in your patriarch's face. You do not honor your father because you do not honor your grandmother or your mother. Because she constitutes your genetic makeup, your ethnic heritage. She is you. You are part of her. She is part of you. And you cannot break the bond. You are the fruit of her womb, the fruit of your father's loins. And so that definitely renders a person to be worse than an infidel. It's one of the worst things a person could do is hate where they've come from. You despise the faith of Jesus Christ, according to Paul, in preference for your selfish pleasure. And you are worse than an infidel, and because of that, you should be cut off from the church, should not be considered a Christian, and you should not be given the manifold blessings of the charity of the church's lawful order. You should be cut off from among his people. And so, the conciliation of these two equal and loving truths, as I had expressed, is not an either-or scenario. You don't get to choose which one it is. We're not told that it's the church's job to aid and abet the unlawful life of freeloading widows, because we note that the law of God promotes no such scenario. It would be like atrophy of the body. That's when you don't move a body part so long that it actually dies. It would be like atrophy to your body. It sets in and then it destroys itself through idleness, which is exactly what he's talking about. Idleness in the widow, it will destroy itself. And so rather we are to help the helpless. That is what our call is. We are to be the voice of the voiceless. We are to be the strong for those who are without strength. That's what we're called to be. We're to help those that need help. But we are not to aid them in an ease of life so that they can be idle. We don't help people be idle. Okay? But we are to aid them in being Christians who rise to the occasion the Lord God has called them to be in. It's always the church's job to encourage the household of faith and to be faithful to the law and the gospel, to live out the law lawfully, and to give no occasion of reproach to the heathen to speak reproachfully, as Paul says, but rather to teach them faith and verity from the only source of truth that we know of, and that is from the law of God, which is eternal truth and righteousness, and the gospel, which is the only rectifier of all of our failures to that law. Because we cannot meet it, God has met us and has helped us to keep it. And so that's important. This isn't an either or, like, well, if you don't aid and abet a person in their idleness, you're not taking care of them. That's not the case. That's not what this is speaking of. We are encouraged to encourage. Now, yes, there's going to be older women over 60 that are going to be old, and they're not going to be